We are going to begin an adventure. This is the best that I can conclude it. I have told everybody that roughly I think I can do this in 7 years. And I've heard all of the remarks. And I am now at a place in my studies and in my time in the Word of God that says, if you don't think I can't do it in 7 years, I challenge you to stay with me for 7 years and see if I make it. It's easy to say, I don't think he can do it. Are you willing to walk with me to see if he can? What a challenge, huh? Tonight I'm going to lay a foundation. In your little sheet there you have, you'll see on the back side 5 points. I will cover all 5 points. And this will set the parameters on which we will deal with the 66 books that we call the Holy Bible. I do not believe it's called the Message. I do not believe it is called the Living Bible. I do not believe it is called any of the nuances that man wants to hang on it. It is called the Holy Word of God, period. And I'm just funny that way. I don't need multiple translations. What does God say? So I'm going to have a word of prayer, and we will jump right in the middle of this. Father, we come before you to seek your book. You have given to us. Father, help us. Father, we gather this evening to draw upon the Lord of the ages. You who only spoke existence into being. You who are the author and the finisher of our faith. Father, help us to understand what it is we are partaking in. Help us to understand where it is we are going. Help us to understand this great adventure and the thrill that we should have as human beings to pursue what is set before us. To your glory, to your praise. Amen. In your little thing there, it's called sermon notes. You have 5 things that are listed out there. And I will tell you that in my almost 20 years of the study of God's Word, these are the 5 single most important things that I have ever found in my life. I have found that other men of God have pulled these out in the past, but I just never really got it together quick enough. I'm a slow learner. But when I realize this, I take these 5 things to Scripture. There's nothing in Scripture that I cannot find, period. Okay? We're going to look at a book that is basically 66 individual books. Okay? It is divided into 2 testaments, they are called. The Old Testament and the New Testament. The word testament is the word that we derive covenant from. The Old Covenant and the New Covenant. And it's basically why you see the word testament. If you've ever had a will and a testament, same mindset. Same mindset. At the death of somebody, there is a testament, a testimony of the one who is deceased that is given forth. That is what the Bible is. It's what the Bible is. You have the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. You have the New Testament, the New Covenant. There are 39 books in the Old Testament. There are 27 books in the New Testament. Like I said, they're telling me I need to do 3.2 chapters a week. I'm going to be behind the curve here because my first week, I'm not even going to touch the book. The second week, I'm going to do with the first 7 words of the book. So I'm going to have to really talk fast after that because I'm going to have to catch up the pace here. And I believe that if you see what happens, you'll understand it. This book was written by prophets. This book was written by kings. This book was written by priests. This book was written by leaders of a nation and multiple nations. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew except for 2 books. No, I'm not telling you tonight. 2 were written in Aramaic. Okay, the New Testament was written in Greek, except for 1 book, and it was written in Hebrew. But the quotations in the Hebrew text were taken from the Greek text, the Septuagint. Bummer, huh? And no, I'm not going to tell you that. That's why you have the 7-year adventure thing in front of you. Okay, this book, people get overwhelmed by it. When you look at it, that's a big book. That's sort of like War and Peace to the Third Power. Especially when you realize what it's dealing with and World War and Peace is dealing with. When you look at this book, I want you to think about it because I want you to look at it. See how I'm holding it? It's a whole. I want you to understand that it's a whole. Yes, I do take parts of it, but you cannot take this book out of its whole. The book is a record. It is given to you and I. The Old Testament shows us the creation of the universe. It shows us the creation of existence. And it closes about 400 years before the advent of Christ. What does that mean? The coming of Jesus Christ. It is a flow of history. Okay, please. We will use it and we'll talk about it. Have you heard the story of Jonah? Okay, let me ask you a question. Have you heard the story of Abraham Lincoln? Is Abraham Lincoln a story? No, it's historical fact. Jonah is historical fact. Okay, I know we're in a habit of using it, but I've heard the Bible stories. No, it's history. It's history. And I guess that's part of the reason of my makeup. I love history. I grew up loving history. It's sort of a curse. No one in life loves history that I've run into. I love history. Therefore, when I found the Bible, I'm like, cool, a book on history. And I can just keep reading it and reading it and reading it. It has a flow through it. It starts with the creation of the universe, the creation of existence. It shows the fall of man. It shows the judgment and the flood over the entire earth. Please hear me. Not part of the earth. It wasn't a really bad time in the Middle East. It was a flood over the entire earth. You see Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, also known as Israel, who are the fathers of a chosen nation. You see that at that point, then it moves to the history of Israel. You see the exile in Egypt, 430 years. And then you see the exodus from Egypt into the wilderness. And that lasts 40 years. You see the conquest of the land of Canaan. Please hear me. What you see today as Israel is not the land of Canaan. Okay? They're getting gypped. What God promised Israel is not what Israel stands in right now. You don't have Assyria, you don't have half of Iraq, you don't have the peninsula. So it is the conquest of Canaan. It takes 7 years to conquer the land of Canaan. Then you see the times of Judges, and Judges is 350 years. You see a united kingdom under King Saul. We always want to leave him out. I kind of like him. He's a bonehead, but he's like all of us. King Saul, King David, King Solomon. 110 years. You see a divided kingdom. You have the northern kingdom, southern kingdom. 350 years. You see the Babylonian and Assyrian exile of 70 years. You see the return and the rebuilding of Israel, 140 years. That's how the Bible starts. You see the law. The law is five books, Genesis to Deuteronomy. You see the history, 12 books, Joshua to Esther. You see the wisdom books, the book of Job to the Song of Solomon. You see the major prophets, or five books, Isaiah to Daniel. You see the minor prophets, 12 books, Hosea to Malachi. Now listen, I'm not a theologian. I figured this out. It's not complicated. Okay, now what's the difference between a major prophet and a minor prophet? Some people write more than others. They're all speaking for God, and it's just some of them are more wordy. You have Isaiah, you have Malachi. Isaiah was on a rant. Malachi says, I'm going to get this thing done. We're going to have 430 years of silence, and then Jesus show up. No big deal. Okay, it's no problem. All right, anyway. After the Old Testament is complete, you have 400 years of silence. 430 years of silence. Nothing is said. Nothing happens. Nothing goes on. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's a whole bunch of stuff happening here on the planet Earth, but God is quiet. But then he breaks the silence. God does. And boy, does he break it in a big way. He sends a guy in a camel hair coat, eating bugs, locusts, and honey. I mean, he's, you know, at least, you know, you want ranch or honey. What do you want to put your locusts in? And he says, I am the one preparing the way for the anointed of God. OK, Okay, you know that term as Messiah. It's the Hebrew word for anointed, or you may know him as the Christ, is the Greek word for Messiah. Okay? The New Testament then records the rest of history. The birth to the eternal state. Books of the Old Testament, they major on the nation of Israel, but they do it in a way that prepare for the coming of the Redeemer, of the Messiah. The New Testament 27 books deal with the person of Christ, the Redeemer. Okay? And an establishment of a mystery that was not known, the church. Okay? This New Testament, four Gospels, all right? Their historical record of his birth, Jesus' birth, his life, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension. Okay? Now, when I first got saved, I looked at that and I said, how come I got to read this thing four times? You could give me Matthew and okay, let's move into Acts. All right? And then it showed me some things. Four human writers write the gospel record, okay? And they view the greatest single event in human history, the God-man, in different perspectives, okay? Matthew looks at him as king. Mark looks at him as servant. Luke looks at him as human. And John looks at him in deity. Okay, that's the four Gospels. That's your New Testament. The book of Acts, his impact on what he did. Listen, you got to remember, he only had 3 years of ministry. He only did things for 3 years. The book of Acts says this is his impact of that 3 years. What happened at the coming of the Holy Spirit? You know, I see people take the book of Acts and they say the first part of the book of Acts is the Acts of Peter, and the second part is the book is the Acts of Paul. That's wrong, brothers. I love you, and I see where you get that. That is not what the book of Acts is for. It is Acts of the Holy Spirit. And he uses Stephen, he uses Paul, he uses Peter, he uses Barnabas. You know what? He even uses Ananias and Sapphira. They didn't like it, but he still used them. It gives us a foundation on this new mystery, what is the church. It shows us how it worked in Samaria. It showed us how it moved to Judea. It showed us how it moved throughout the Roman Empire. This moving of the Spirit of God in light of what has happened because of the incarnation of Jesus Christ. Then we move into 21 letters. They're written to churches and to individuals who are in leadership in the churches. People ask me, why do I think the church is important? Because there's 21 letters in the New Testament that says so. Okay? That's why. There's not some guy named Rome, and I'm going to write Rome a letter. He writes it to the church in Rome. All right? These 21 letters clarify the significance of the person and the work of Jesus Christ, and the implications for life and the witness until he returns. That's what the 21 letters are for. Okay? Then the New Testament closes. The book of Revelation. Christ's return. Okay? His earthly kingdom. His bringing of judgment, the judgment of the ungodly, and the glory and blessings of those who would believe. All right? This ain't a complicated book. It just is the sweep of history. And yet, there is a unifying theme throughout this book. Let me see if I can hammer this through. God, for His own glory, has chosen to create and to gather to Himself a group of people to be subjects of His eternal kingdom, to praise, to honor and to serve him forever. Through this group, he will display his wisdom, his power, his mercy, his grace, his glory. And to this, God must redeem them from sin. Scripture reveals God's plan. Its beginning, that would be eternity past, and its completion, which is eternity future. There are covenants, and there's promises, and there's epics. But they are all secondary to the continuous plan of redemption. I mean, that is the Bible. We see one God, we see one creator, we see one book, we see one plan of grace, and we see that from the beginning, we see that to the end. It doesn't change. Start to finish, the Bible is a story of God redeeming his chosen people for the praise of his glory. Period. That's it. It's an easy book. But I want to slow down a little bit now. I mean, I just covered about 6,000 years. And that doesn't include the millennial kingdom or the eternal kingdom. I want to just kind of linger here for a few minutes on this thing that you have in your little notes here, your sermon outlines. Take these five. Any book of the Bible. Any paragraph of the Bible, any thought of the Bible, any theme of the Bible, and I guarantee you these five are in there. They may be in there collectively, all five, or one of them, but they're all going to be there. And if you take these five and just stick them in your Bible, now, and I'm talking about the Bible that you study out of, you just stick it right in there, and when you're reading your Bible, you pull that out and look, you're going to see one of these five. I don't care what you're reading. I don't care if you're reading Song of Solomon. I don't care if you're reading the book of Job. I don't care if you're reading Revelations. I don't care if you're reading Leviticus. If you're reading Leviticus, we'll sit and talk. Because there's something wrong with you. I read Leviticus and said, perfect. Glad I'm not Jewish. Everything revealed on the pages of the Holy Scripture is associated with these five categories. The Bible is always teaching or illustrating these five. It's essential for the study of this book. And if you can grasp these five, when you're reading, you will be able to relate to each whatever is being introduced, whether it's Old Testament or whether it is New Testament. And, you know, when I look at it, the Old Testament has been introduced and the New Testament has made it clear. Charles Spurgeon said it this way, the Old Testament is the single most glorious mansion you've ever seen or you could ever imagine, and the New Testament turns all the lights on so you can see the detail. Okay? So, first thing you're going to see in Scripture, the revealing of God. Who is he? Einstein, that would be the guy who made the light bulb, or MC squared or whatever. Yeah, MC squared dude. Yeah, he's a guy with the cool hair. I like his hair. Anyway. He says, I can look at creation, I can look at science and say there is a God, but you can't know him. Okay, a lot of people think he was saved. Well, if you can't know him, he wasn't saved. Because my Bible says, I wrote this because I want you to know me. Okay? It is revealing of the person of God. Always keep that in mind. The Bible is God's self-revelation. Please understand it. Old Testament, New Testament. Sovereign of existence. Chose to make man. Okay? And he made himself known to man. How did he do it? We'll look at that over the years to come. But he shows us through Scripture. He also shows us he has an absolute standard of holiness. From Adam, Cain, Abel, all before, all after the law of Moses, the standard of righteousness is set throughout Scripture, throughout the New Testament. And violation of that standard results in judgment. Judgment temporal, judgment eternal. That's how God reveals Himself. The Old Testament, God revealed Himself in creation. I remember before I came to salvation, there was no way in my generation we were taught in school two theories, two hypotheses, one of creation and one of evolution. Okay? And I remember never going to church, never being raised in the church. I looked around and saying, evolution is insane. Why? You're telling me it was all an accident? It was just a cosmic collision and poof, we've got this? How much faith does that take? And I always believed, looking at creation, there has to be a creator. You're not telling me that, whoops, it was just great big explosion and poof, there we all are. You know, you got giraffes and donkeys and worms and bugs and planets and continents and it's just all woo, cool. Realize how stupid that sounds when you say it that way? There was a big explosion and poof, here we all are. I don't get it. So he revealed himself through creation, primarily through the person of man, the individual, the creature of man. Man was created in his image. I will deal with that. He also made angels. He made signs. He made wonders. He had powers. He had visions. He had spoken words through the prophets and others wrote it down so you and I would have it. Okay? How did he do it in the New Testament? God revealed himself again. And he did it in creation. The incarnation. God stood before us. The God-man, Jesus, the very image of God. We were created in his image, and Jesus says, I am that image. Do you see? Old Testament, New Testament, they're still the same. He had angels. He had signs. He had wonders. He had miracles. He had visions. He had the spoken word. And he had written scripture. I'm seeing a theme here. He kind of keeps the same pattern. Old Testament, New Testament. How does he reveal himself? Same way. Okay? Second thing. You see the revealing of God. Who is he? The character and nature of God. Second thing, what I call the revealing of sin and disobedience. Listen, over and 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 over in this book deals with the matter of man's sin. And it leads to divine judgment. Okay, the deadly effects of sin, time and eternity of violating God's standard. Now think about this for a second. I want you to just think about it. Just ponder this for a second. 1,189 chapters in the Bible. Okay, 66 books, 1,189 chapters. Only four don't involve a fallen world. First two, the last two. You got 1,185 chapters that chronicle the tragedy of sin. And I'm thinking that there's something there he's trying to get across. What do you think? He's one of those you can hear, I'm talking to you. God has showed the disaster of sin. It starts with Adam and Eve, Moses, Israel, kings, priests, Gentile nations, the devastation and the production and produce of sin and disobedience. Okay? New Testament, a little more clear. What? Sin and disobedience. You have preaching and teaching of Jesus. You have the preaching and teaching of the apostles. They begin and they end with what? A call to repentance. King Herod, the Jewish leaders, of the nation of Israel. Pilate, representative of Rome. The world. Basically, they all do what? Reject the truth. They reject the truth. In doing so, they condemn themselves. How many people in this room this day, this evening, have rejected the truth? How many people in this room this day have given the truth over and over and over and over and over, and it was rejected and rejected and rejected and rejected? And I can tell you right now, you don't have to worry about it because they are condemning themselves. It's not your issue. I give you the truth. You don't like it? That's fine. Okay? That's fine. Go ahead. Well, I just feel like rebelling. Go ahead. We'll deal with that in the next 7 years. I got 1,185 chapters that will deal with that. No problem. I don't have any problem with that. Okay? You will. 7 years, you know, and you see, how am I supposed to do 3 chapters? You know what? Next week's message and the last message, that's the only reprieve you're going to get. The rest of it is going to be dealing with your sin. Sorry. Chronicles the sin from continuing from its inception to the end of the age, the return of Christ and judgment. The New Testament, I believe, the New Testament disobedience is more flagrant than that of the Old Testament, because it involves the rejection of the Lord Savior Christ Jesus. That's what I believe. Now, a lot of people look at the Old Testament and think, boy, God was really grouchy in the Old Testament. I mean, he had ground open up, swallowing people, and all kind of weird stuff. You know, fire and stuff come out, first Sodom and Gomorrah. And I mean, just, he was cranky. Okay? I believe that the judgment of the New Testament is far harsher than the Old Testament ever dreamed of. And the reason is that it is the absolute rejection of the Lord Savior Christ Jesus. Okay? Third thing, faith and obedience. Okay, you have sin and disobedience. You also have faith and obedience. What I call divine blessing. There are repeated promises and wondrous rewards in time and eternity throughout the 66 books of the Scriptures. Okay, what I mean by time and eternity. Yes, I'm looking for that crown that I'm going to heaven and hanging out and rala, rala, rala. Okay, good deal, dude. I'm talking about right now. There are blessings right now, and they come from faith and obedience. And you will see that throughout the 66 books that we are about to study. It comes to people who trust in God and seek to obey Him. Okay? Now, I want to kind of give a little caveat on that one. Okay? The repeated promises and the wondrous rewards for time and eternity come to the people who trust God and seek to obey Him. All right? I know many who seek, few who trust. Okay? And you can't change that. I know a lot of people seeking God. I only know a handful who trust Him. Okay? And those who are in the promises and rewards of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords are those who seek and trust. All right? Old Testament showed God the blessedness of repentance from sin, faith in Him, and obedience to His word. From Abel to the patriarchs, you see the remnant of Israel, even Gentiles in Nineveh, and God's standard for man. His will, His moral law were always, always, always made known. They've never been hidden. It's never been hidden. You know, I hear people say, well, you can't legislate morality. Right, is murder immoral? Uh-huh. So I guess we can legislate morality then, can't we? Okay. Those who are faced with their inabilities to keep God's standard, recognize their sin, confess their inability to please God by any effort, and ask for forgiveness and grace, they're come by mercy and forgiveness, the blessing of time and eternity. That is the Old Testament. That is the Old Testament. New Testament, God shows the fullness of the blessings from the redemption of sin. Based to a repentant people. Why? They came preaching repentance. It started with John the Baptist. Repentance was the preaching of Christ, and others in Israel obeyed this good news, this gospel. Gentiles throughout the Roman Empire, and they believed this thing, this good news, this gospel. And to all who would believe, through all of history, there is blessing this time and eternal to come. That's the New Testament. Fourth thing. This is, I believe, is the heart of the New Testament and the Old Testament. It's the revealing of a Savior and sacrifice. It's wound throughout the whole thing. Jesus said that the Old Testament spoke of Him. New Testament is a record of His coming and dependence on the grace and mercy given to sinners. Same thing in the Old Testament. It was dependence on grace and mercy to those who would repent. Grace and mercy, same side, one coin. Or different sides, same coin. Grace, remove me the guilt. Mercy, the consequences. Comes in Jesus Christ. Sinner, any sinner, if you come to God, repentant and convinced you have no power, pleads for mercy, God promises forgiveness. Throughout Old Testament, New Testament. Fifthly, coming kingdom and glory. Redemptive history is controlled by God to His eternal glory. Okay? Listen, the truths of the end of the age, hear me well on this, are not vague. They're very concise and they're very specific. Okay, He does not hide it. It is not this mystery thing. It may be a mystery to you because you've probably been taught this or you heard that or you've seen this or you've heard this, and maybe this or whatever, da, 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 and all the other stuff. Okay? And you have confusion, but the lack of confusion is not God's fault. No, I mean, your confusion is not God's fault. Okay? Because God is not a God of confusion. He writes it very simply. You may not want to hear what He's saying, but He's still saying it. You may not like what He says, but you know what? That still don't make it true. Not true. We're going to go through some stuff, people, in the revealing of who God is, and you are. I guarantee you, you are not going to like it. Okay? You know what? I pray for you now. There's a whole bunch of stuff in here I don't like. But you know what? God didn't say, what do you think, Terry? Would this be good or bad? Huh? You think people may look at me kind of squeamish? Well, I think you start killing off a third of the fish, you're going to have them PETA people ticked off. I mean, you know, I'm just, you know, what about global warming? Wait till you see what Jesus does. Now, you're going to give a whole new meaning to global warming. We're kind of missing. Anyway, let's get back to this. The coming of His kingdom is glory. Listen, it's not vague. There is salvation for the Gentiles and the reestablishing of the nation of Israel. Actually, Israel will be regrafted into the root of Jesse. It's really kind of cool. Renewal of the whole planet from the effects of sin. I call it the uncreation. There's coming a time where He will uncreate it. so he can make a new heaven and a new earth that is not touched by any aspect or shadow or memory of sin. Now that's hard for those who may want to be evolutionist, because he's going to devolve it in a very radical way. The Old Testament cries this loudly. The New Testament expands and clarifies this. Okay? These five things fill up the Bible. And to understand these at the start is to know the answer to the question that will continually arise throughout your study of the book. Okay? You're going to have one question that continues to dog you till the day your faith becomes sight. One question will dog you. Why does the Bible tell us this? And I guarantee you, it'll be in these five. I don't care what the question is. As we read, as we go together on this great adventure that is before us, I've just given you five hooks. And I want you to take the truths of Scripture and hang on these five hooks. And this book will flat out unfold to you in ways you never even dreamed. Okay? There should be some 3x5 cards in your chairs, seats behind you. This is going to be a little different than our normal services. If you have questions during any of these messages, you write those questions down on those cards. And I'll do my best to get you the answer by next Saturday night. Okay? Okay, now if you're asking me when is Jesus coming back, I can answer that one right away. Oh, no. But let me tell you something. We'll all know together. It won't be like I'll be ahead of you on that one. So, and if you ask me, is it going to quit snowing? Not in this age. I'm kind of tired of snow and shoveling and all the other stuff. Listen, I am excited about this. I don't want you to look around at anybody and say, well, who's here, who ain't here, who didn't come. Don't look at that. That ain't what we're here for. Okay, I had people calling me today. Well, you know, I just don't think I... You're missing this. This is the Terry Show. I am going to walk through the Holy Word of God. And I'll go with anybody who wants to go with me. Okay? And I mean, if you show up this one and you catch me in Ezekiel, fine. Fine. It's great. I think I can teach Leviticus in one message. Isn't that a great book? Amen. This is the kind of stuff that I want you to think about. Take these five things that I just gave you. Listen, if you never come back again, I never ever see you again. You take these five things and you will be a stronger Christian than the average Christian. Just taking these five things. Okay? Because these five things are the keys that help me study Scripture. And they have been for years. I'll be honest with you, you're blessed. It took me about 17 years to figure it out that it was these five things. You guys got one little shot and you got it. Okay? And you guys will feel a lot smarter. I am just the slow one. Okay? I tell people, I've learned a lot. I retain little. Hey, what can I say? All right? Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we come before your throne. And Lord, your ways are not our ways. I don't understand it. I praise you, Lord, for drawing us this night. Father, I'm excited about the things you've just given me in preparation for what we're going to do. And Lord, I pray that the souls of men and women, all who will enter through here, through the time that you grace us with the study of this text, and Father, you be glorified. And Father, eyes will be open to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hearts will be opened to the amazement of who you are and what you do. Father, we bow before your throne, to your glory, and to your praise. Amen.